Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it.
Brought to you by the National Association of Realtors.
Swung on and hit in the air to deep right center. It is high. It is far. It is gone.
Bruce Hall gives you all the latest sports news from a handicapper's perspective.
What the hell's going on out here?
Join the conversation by calling in at 240-317-7294. Now, here's your host.
They are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
Bruce Hall and Roy G.
Good morning, New York. Good morning, Washington, D.C., Baltimore area. Good morning, Philadelphia. Good morning, North Carolina, South Carolina, and Florida. That's where we've got a lot of fans.
And North Dakota. Nobody ever says.
And North Dakota.
We can corner the market in North Dakota.
Well, actually, I'm thinking about cornering the market in Detroit because no one's in Detroit anymore. I'm Bruce Hall. And listen, we got so many. We had a lot of people commenting on the fact that we never talk about NCAA football on this show. So here we go. I decided that starting this week, I'm gonna go through all of the scores from the day before. And you're unfortunately about that. Don't kill the messenger. I'm just gonna give you my opinion about some of those scores, and you'll find out who I like and who I don't like.
You're doing this just to spite Roy because he's the NCAA expert.
He's an idiot. No, he's not. He's actually celebrating his brother's birthday this weekend, and I gave him the tickets to the last Washington National game of the year today. So Roy and his bride Haley and her new baby, and because she's
well, not yet,
no, but she's definitely carrying one. And Chris and his girlfriend are at the game, and you guys have a great time. UCLA scored 62 points. Arizona State evidently sucks. They have no defense. They lost 62-27. Oklahoma State 45, Texas Tech 35. Probably a lot of offense, no defense again. Georgia Southern beats Appalachian State. Who cares? Middle Tennessee beats Old Dominion. Old Dominion has a football team? Of course they do. They've had one now 2 or 3 years, and they're horrible. Fresno beats New Mexico 35-24. And Florida State University, with their phenom quarterback, who is literally a choir boy. We're talking about Jameis Winston. They're down 24-7 late in the second quarter. They come back and win 56-41. Don't think you're going to be number one after this week. Although they've got a hell of a football team. They just seem to be able to put up as many points as they want. I think they've got Wake Forest next week. That's not going to be a very good game. Auburn beats Louisiana Tech 45-17. Texas A&M in overtime beats Arkansas. That was a hell of a game. I saw part of that. 35-28. Baylor, who looks like they just want to be in that last group of four this year. They win 49-28 over an Iowa State team that's not very good. Notre Dame beats Syracuse 31-15. Heard there was a couple of terrible calls against Syracuse in that game. Michigan State 56, Wyoming 14. The Cowboys of Wyoming are never going to have much for Michigan State. Mississippi, Ole Miss beats Memphis. Now, Memphis had been playing some good ball. Ole Miss is ranked number 10. They're pretty damn good. They're going to be around this year. Tennessee loses to Georgia 35-32. That was a hell of a game, I'm sure. That was in Athens, Georgia yesterday. And I saw the Missouri-South Carolina game. Missouri goes in for a touchdown on fourth down. They win 21-20 over a former top 20 team. South Carolina, they were ranked 13th. They'll be ranked 43rd after this week. Stanford beats Washington 20-13. That was a hell of a game. LSU, I was awake for half of it. LSU beats New Mexico State 63-7. USC beats Oregon State 35-10. Number 19, Wisconsin beats USF South Florida 27-10. As we keep going, Nebraska beats Illinois 45-14. That was the game where a coach, I think, took down some guy that just ran out in the middle of the field for no reason. He got pancaked. We call it a hip toss. He threw that guy down so hard, he probably broke five of his bones.
If it was an Ohio State fan, he probably took it as a compliment. Well, like, my God, I just got touched by someone from the organization.
I mean, you never know.
I've never washed this bloodstain.
Could have been an ISIS member. You never know. Ohio State 50, Cincinnati 28. That was a lot better game early in the game. Kansas State beat UTEP 58-28. Rutgers beats Tulane. Tulane's horrible this year, 31-6. Kentucky beats Vanderbilt, 17-7. Vandy isn't going to win too many games this year. I was there earlier this year. They just don't have much of a shot. They're kind of in a rebuilding mode. Plus, it's so hard to get into Vanderbilt. You got to be really smart to get in there, so they don't get a lot of offensive and defensive linemen because their SAT scores tend to be a little lower than everybody else's. Iowa 24, Purdue 10. Northwestern beat Penn State. Oh my God, 29-6. Nobody's happy in Happy Valley. I will say that right now. That game got away from them quick. Virginia Tech actually wins another game. They win 35-17 over Western Michigan figures. Colorado State 24, Boston College 21. Yale beats Army. This is one of the oldest games year after year after year. At one time back in the, I guess, late 1800s and early 1900s, Army and Yale were two of the only schools. You know, you had all of your Ivy League schools, Army and Navy. You didn't even have Air Force for a while. But Yale wins.
Have airplanes.
Yeah, Yale wins 49-43. Maryland beats Indiana. Maryland looks pretty damn good this year. Nobody's complaining over in College Park lately. Akron beats Pitt 21-10. Ohio beats Eastern Illinois 34-19. Bowling Green, SU, whatever that is, beat UMass 47-42. University of Virginia beats Kent State 45-13. Kent not real strong in the MAC. Louisville beats Wake Forest. That was a good game. A lot of defense in that Louisville-Wake Forest game, which was surprising to me. Navy loses to Western Kentucky, the Hilltoppers, by 11. University of Michigan loses to Minnesota at home. I guess they're just about they've just about fired this head coach, Brady Hoke, I guess is his name. They keep getting his name mixed up with Coke. I don't know what's going on with that. There's a lot of Twitterverse going on with that. Florida International 34, UAB 20. Buffalo beats Miami of Ohio 35-27. This was the game of the night last night. If you could stay up this late, Cal ends up winning in double overtime, 59-56 over Colorado. I know Mike McCartney was probably upset. We've got a phone call. I wonder who this is. Hello?
Hey, Bruce.
Who's this?
This is Roy.
Hey, Roy. What's up, man?
What's up? How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm doing real good. Should I put Roy on hold?
Well, we have an interview next week, our next segment.
We do? Did we already get into the second segment?
Not yet.
No, the next segment is he's calling at 10:32, the next segment. We're not going to do that. We can't do that now. I got Roy on the line. All hey, right. Roy. Well, Roy, let me ask you a question. We're gonna go ahead and break. We're gonna break for a commercial, and then I'm gonna have you on second segment instead of Jess Root, who I just recorded a segment with about those Arizona Cardinals. Yeehaw! You know, I got them at 17-1 for a bundle in Vegas to win the NFC, which they won't do because Seattle I got at 7-2, and they'll probably win it. But let me get this done, Roy, and we'll be right back, okay? For the first time in generations, the dream of homeownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect homeownership. I'm Bruce Hall. I got Roy on the line. We'll be back in a minute with more of Second Opinion.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or on Twitter, hashtag BHSports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
Well, I've got Roy G on the phone. Roy, you still there, buddy?
I'm still here.
Hey, thanks for calling in. 7 minutes late isn't bad. I was hoping you'd call in at 10:05. I know you're busy. You were probably chasing that little boy of yours around. You guys are getting ready to go down there. Now, look, I got to get two of those hats. They're giving you hats as you go in. I think the first 25,000 people get this goofy-looking, like, winter hat. Are you there, or is that?
Winter hat.
I thought that was Matt. I just heard something. It sounded like somebody just pulled something out of Frankenstein's head. Anyway, hey, listen, By the way, when I came over last night, man, it was so cool how I did, you know, left the tickets for you, because there was like a crowd outside at a party across the street from your house, and they were all hanging out, speaking a language I didn't speak. So I walk up, they all look at me like I got three heads. I walk up, and it's real dark because you didn't have the light on, and I bang on the door. I know no one's home, but I'm banging on the door, and I got the dog barking. I got everything going on. And so I slide over real quick and put the tickets underneath the little dog on the outside.
007-like.
I got to tell you something. And then I kept knocking. Roy, you there? Roy, you there? And I left, and guess where I went? Frozen dairy bar.
Yes.
I got about 2 pounds of a frozen dairy. This is the best. Everybody listening to the show, if you've ever seen the murals that are made that are like paintings of a place that says Frozen Dairy Bar on it, that is an original frozen dairy bar that was right down at the corner of Annandale Road and Route 50, which is called Arlington Boulevard. And it was there for what? Think, Roy, 60 years, 50 or 60 years?
Forever. And then it got torn down and moved, but and now it's back in the same area. But, yeah, it's in there since...
Yeah, it's not the same...
Maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, it's not the same place, but I got to tell you, man, if you've ever had pure chocolate custard, it's the best stuff in the world, man. I mean, I had to drive about 80 miles an hour to get home so I wouldn't pass out at the wheel from a sugar overload. Hey, listen, so you're going down to see the team in the National League with the best record.
I am. I'm going to see the Washington Nationals. I was at Topgolf last night for, I know people in New York don't know what Topgolf is. There's only four of them in the country, but Topgolf is basically a video game driving range. You have golf balls that are registered, and they go into like little targets. And so I walk into to Topgolf, and there's this little all gray French bulldog sitting there at the counter.
Yeah.
And they were like, "Oh, what's the dog's name?" And it was Stitch. And my wife was like, "That's Gio Gonzalez's dog." And it turns out it was. And Gio Gonzalez was standing right next to me. I had like a 5-10 minute conversation with him. He's a really good guy.
Yeah, he is. He's not very big either. I'm taller than he is because at Nationals Park, they have like these they have they have pictures of these guys, and it's their actual size. And you can walk up and sit next to them and pretend like you're having your picture taken next to them, even though everybody knows it's not them. And I'm like an inch and a half taller than Gio. He's a little bitty guy, but he's got a great arm.
Yeah, he's 6 foot. He was a little.
He's not 6 foot. Trust me, I'm 5'11". He's about 5'10". But no, he ain't 6 foot.
I was standing right next to him.
I don't care, Roy. I'm just telling you. Well, then his mural's 2 inches shorter than it should be.
He was a little.
That's right, Roy. You're taller than me. Yeah, you're like 5'6" or something, aren't you?
No, I'm.
Hey, are we going to play golf this week sometime? We got to play golf. Oh, you can't. You work for 11. I forgot. You're young.
No.
Oh, you're going to call in sick one day and we'll play golf? Can we do that?
The Redskins have made me extremely sick for the next couple weeks.
Hey, listen, you got to give. We kind of got a full kind of schedule going on here, and especially with the next segment. You want to give me your picks now?
Sure.
Because you're going to be on the road anyway here shortly, I know. Give me your picks and then I'll give you my picks. Oh, no, or you give me one of yours, and I'll give you one of mine. You ready?
Yeah.
All right, go ahead. Who's your first pick, Roy?
All right, so my first pick is... This is NFL.
Who is it?
Chi-Town, Chicago, +1.5 over the Green Bay Packers.
Now, and you're sure they're still +1.5?
According to my application that I just...
Okay. All right. Well, yeah, you know what to go to, right? Go to VegasInsiders.com.
Mm-hmm.
I was on the Lions and I called back and I got off of the Lions. But I do have, I'm not going to give you this. I'm just going to give you straight plays. What are we doing, 5 or 6?
Maybe 6.
All right, we'll do 6. I'm going to take the Indianapolis Colts for 5 stars. I love the Colts today. They're -7 or 7.5. It doesn't matter which. I love them in this game. Go ahead. What's your next pick?
My next pick would be Detroit -1.5.
Yeah, see, I had to get off of that, and I'll tell you why I did. Detroit, has some late scratches. And this is a, and the Jets defensive line is literally so much better than the Detroit offensive line. And last week, even though they won, the Packers should have won, but they sucked too. You know, that's just the problem. I think the Jets have to win this too. I mean, it's a big game for them. I got off of that. Yeah. A lot of people are on the Ravens. They love the Ravens today, but I'm on the Steelers minus -7. Over the Buccaneers. Why are they only 7? It looks like a trap. I'm taking them anyway.
Yeah, I was playing that Baltimore Ravens game as well. I was looking at it. Baltimore plays great defense at home, but I don't know. Carolina's looked so bad lately that you think they're going to have a bounce back game at some point, right?
Yeah, well, you know, you hope so. Okay, did you? Who are you going to take?
So you got Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I got Pittsburgh and Indy so far.
All right, the next game I have is Miami. The Dolphins minus
-3. You're going to play that London game?
I'm going to play it.
All right. Yeah, I wouldn't touch that with your money. but that's probably a good pick because the Raiders are terrible. I'm going to take San Diego minus the 13 over the Jags. I like, that could be a trap, but the Jaguars are terrible. I don't care if it is Blake Bortles. I see the Chargers scoring a ton of – I may backside myself with the over there, but I haven't decided yet.
The San Diego Chargers are one of the few good teams left in the AFC. It looks like the AFC looks like they're just beating each other up.
I know,
but the next game I got is Atlanta minus -3.5.
I'm on that too. Ditto. I like that game, and Minnesota is just, you know, even though it's Teddy Bridgewater instead of what's his name. Castle. I still don't see anything good happening here. Just don't see it.
Mm-hmm.
So,
so next up we have the New Orleans Saints minus -3 over Jerry's Boys.
All right. Well, I like the game, but I'm taking the over 53.5. I think it's going to be a 38-37 game, something like that. It's just going to be a big scoring game for two reasons. Number one, the Saints are horrible on the road, and everybody's on the Cowboys. But what they forget is the Cowboys never have home field advantage there, ever. So, you know, I just think it's going to be both defenses are underachieving. I'm going to take the over in that game. Is that it?
All right.
Was that six each? We got one more? Okay, I'm going to have to make one up. Keep going.
I have the under in the San Diego-Jacksonville game.
Do you really?
Yeah, under 45. I just don't think Jacksonville's going to score any points.
Well, I think you're absolutely – you could be right. You could be right. And it also could be one of these games where, you know, San Diego just doesn't try to do too much. And that's a little scary. Tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to take the Packers-Bears over – 50.5. I like the over in that game. The weather's good. And neither team, even though it looked like the Packers had a decent defense last week against Detroit, that was just because Detroit's offense was so bad. I'm going to take the over here. Plus, I got Matt Forte on my fantasy team. So hopefully he'll go crazy today.
There you go. So we both redeemed ourselves last week. We both went 4-4 out of 6.
I went. Yeah, I was in the National Handicappers Bowl. I was plus. Well, I thought I was 6-0 in our picks, but maybe I was wrong. Who did you have me losing? Jets.
We both missed our total.
But I remember I didn't get a total because I tried to put one in there and you said I couldn't. Remember?
Well, you tried to switch out your total.
Yeah, I didn't do it. Oh, yeah, did you, I? I thought it was just the opposite. I thought I was going to. Well, I used my total as a homie. Who's your homie?
My homie was Indianapolis.
Yeah, who is it now, though?
I'll go Miami -3.
Are you really taking Miami as your homie? You are a maniac.
you're homie.
That is.
I got my boy on my side. I got straight cash. We're good.
You know what? Well, he's there. You got to impress him. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take the Colts -7 as my homie. Because I had him as my homie on my page on my on BruceHallSports.com last week. But remember, I took the total as my homie and lost. All right, buddy.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, thanks for coming on. Have a great time over there. Who's pitching today? Isn't it Jordan Zimmermann?
You know, I'm not sure. I think it is Jordan Zimmermann.
Do you know what? This could be a record-setting day in Major League Baseball because it might be the first time that there are three tiebreakers tomorrow. Three or four. I think it would be three. We could have three tie-breaking games tomorrow. We'll see you soon, Roy, okay? We'll be back in a minute on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
Welcome back to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. You can stay up to date all week by going to BruceHallSports.com or by going to Facebook.com/BruceHallSports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
We've got one of my favorite people in the world on the phone. He doesn't know this, but he's one of the few guys I trust that comes on TV and pretty much plays that balancing act. He's the host of Meet the Press.
He's one of the few people you and I agree with.
Yeah,
agree on it.
Absolutely, but he's Chuck Todd. Chuck, thanks for coming on, partner. I really appreciate it.
No problem. It's a low bar. Take these compliments very, very with a grain of salt. I know what I'm up against.
Well, let me tell you, you were at GW University about the time they killed their wrestling program. I don't think it was the time they killed all the programs, but I had a kid I coached in high school in Arlington, Virginia, that ended up going to GW in wrestling, and he was there about the same time you were. And his name was Richard Salas. He was a hell of a wrestler too. But listen, let's talk about some of the reason.
Title Nine.
Title Nine is the reason they can't bring him back. I went to East Carolina University, and you know we have no problem coming up with those 85 full scholarships for football, but to come up with 9.9 for wrestling, they just can't do it somehow.
It's amazing. Yeah.
And you know what? It's not fair, but someday, you know, we'll be able to fix that, hopefully. Hey, your team did a pretty good job last night, but it didn't look like your typical Miami-Duke game, did it? I was expecting a lot more scoring. I watched most of that. What did you think last night, CNA?
Well, I mean, I felt like that was a defense that they were playing as if their job was on the line. I think they knew it said something. I think the players must respect their coaches because they knew their coaches. They're not idiots. They knew their coaches were under the gun for what was a pretty poor performance and what's been a pretty poor 3 years. So that looked like an inspired defense. The offense just said it was a weird game. I mean, you know, you look at the stats and you would think, that game should have been 42-10, statistically, and it wasn't. But, you know, at this point, as bad as Miami's been as far as the Miami fans concerned, and I say that, you know, a lot of other schools will take 9-3 and all that stuff. We obviously have a little higher expectations. Right now, one win at a time.
Yeah, let me tell you, Chuck, I'm always pulling for the U because, you know, when they go up against Florida and Florida State, it's hard not to. And you know what? I mean, Florida State, they had a game yesterday where they were behind most of the game, and it isn't the first time this season. So,
you know, it's funny. I had to watch a lot of them. I watched the Noel.
Is she really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, no, she went there. She worked on the football program. She's legit. She's a legit fan. I give her that. It is a, they have a target on their back. Everybody's out to get them. I think, you know, it's funny how everybody's watching. Oh, they're not winning with enough points. They're not doing this. You know what? If they get through the season undefeated and a defending national title, you got to give them credit because everybody plays their best game. NC State's not going to play a better game all year long.
Absolutely not. And you know what? The ACC is not a bad. It's not a bad conference. They catch a lot of crap about things, but that is a good conference. And
well, it's okay. I'm not going to say it did lose to Akron yesterday, so let's not be. You know, it's better than the Big Ten.
Hey,
that's
about
all they got going for them.
Chuck, I'm an East Carolina Pirate, so I'm feeling pretty good about life. Although we did lose to the South Carolina Gamecocks opening day, and we had no business losing to them. They're terrible. Listen, what a lot of people don't know about you, I'm talking to Chuck Todd from Meet the Press. Chuck has been with NBC for years. It's strange. I still, for the most part, can see you almost any time of the day. If I'm on MSNBC or NBC, I mean, you still are around in the morning, but this show on Sunday takes up a lot of your time now, doesn't it?
It does. Now, we got preempted this week because of Ryder Cup, which, you know.
And they're right in the middle. They're almost finishing up with that right now. We were blowing that lead. I was watching that last night, or this morning when I got up. It was. Well, we had a bad Saturday. We had a bad second.
It's
going to
be a
round.
While before we win one of these again.
I think you're right. I think you're right.
But it is. It's funny. I am not in a routine yet. I'm still trying to figure this out. I've always been a daily and an hourly news guy. So to focus on a week, and you know, it's one of those things where you feel like I want the viewer to think, oh yeah, it took him a week to work on that. You know, you can't just sort of, sort of throw something up there and they say, well, you could have done that any day of the week. And so I think that's, you know, it's a little extra challenge now because there's so much out there. There's so many people doing trying to cover the same terrain.
Well, let me tell you, nobody does it like you. And listen, I'm not a kid either. I'm 60 years old, and I've seen all kinds of politicians, all kinds of reporters.
If you're in this area.
Oh, well, I grew up in Arlington. I went to Wakefield High School, and of course, moved back here in '83, and I've been here ever since. But no, it's I enjoy watching you because you're entertaining, and you know it's really hard to sit right there in the middle and kind of give everybody a shot, but you do.
You know, it's funny. I don't think it's that hard, but what's been harder is the audience now. You know, I had somebody say this to me, that in the last decade, people are so invested in outcomes now in politics. It used to be that people did watch political shows and political news, looking to understand both sides.
Right.
And now more and more people that are engaged, which is great, right? There are more people engaged than ever, but they're invested in the outcome. So they're looking for somebody that's going to tell them that they're right, that what they want to see is getting done. And my concern is that we're in a shrinking where the audience actually doesn't want, that there isn't a big enough audience that wants to hear both sides of an argument or wants to hear both sides of a debate. And that's something that, you know, frankly, hopefully, I'm hoping this is a cycle and that as we transition out of it, people realize, wait a minute, this polarization is no way to run a country. It's no way to run campaign. It's no way to digest news, no way to watch television. I'm hoping it's a cycle, but, you know, the sad part is if it's not, then this goes away.
Yeah, no, and I totally agree with you. I couldn't agree more. Let's get to the real important reason for your call, though. I asked you for your opinion on your now. A lot of people don't know this, but you're a pretty big NFL fan too, and I think you like a team that I'm still an original Packer backer. Are you still a Packer fan?
I'm still a Packer fan. My dad grew up in Iowa. Everybody always says, "How did you end up a Packer fan?"
Well,
I grew up in Miami, but my dad grew up in Iowa, and as he said, you hate all things Chicago when you grow up in Iowa. That's their, you know, the Chicago's not the Midwest as far as they're concerned. So for football, that meant you had to like the Packers because it was anti-Chicago.
Did you get a chance to take a look at the schedule today, or do you want me to go through it real quick with you?
Go ahead and go through it. I think I've got most of it.
Okay.
I may pretend to look at point spreads.
Okay, well, that's all we can do because, see, I only do this pretending to look at the point spread, too.
Yeah, of course.
The Lions are actually 2-point favorites over the Jets in New York. I got off of that game because I think the Lions are beat up. Do you have an opinion on that game?
I liked it when it was at a point.
Yeah, one's better than two.
I may be an idiot, but I love Detroit today.
They have a good team.
I think they get out of this little offensive funk, and there's nothing like the Jets and their mediocre offense.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. Plus, there's a lot of pressure on Geno Smith and Rex right now. The Dolphins are playing in London against the Raiders, two of the worst teams maybe in the league, although I can't say anything bad about the Dolphins because you may like those people.
Well, I don't love them. I mean, I didn't, you know.
Former Packer coach.
Yeah, I don't love them. They got a lot of problems, but they're not a bad team.
Right.
I think Tannehill's got a lot of I think he's got a little pressure on him. I think he's got a little fire. I think they could win big today in London. I think there's a there's a little bit of a, you know, Tannehill's got something to prove. His coach didn't stand behind him. So that was another one that perhaps I enjoyed that point spread.
All right, here's
it's 3.5, right?
Yeah, it's 3.5 points. Here's a stupid question. Are the Packers going to beat the Bears in Chicago?
Well, I think they have to. I think they better. This is a must win. You know,
yes,
they
it is.
The 1-3, 2 losses in the division. This is a huge. This is a huge game. I mean, I'm worried they're not going to win, but this is one of those where I feel like they, you know, when their back's against the wall, they usually do pull these ones out, but they have to win today.
Yeah, I agree, and Aaron Rodgers is due, and so is Jordy Nelson. He's on my team.
But you know what?
Team.
They got a problem. It's a center. This just tells you, is there a more important offensive lineman than a center?
Nope.
You know, it gets no coverage. And boy, this has been this happened in the preseason, and this is the problem for the Packers. Everything is there except that the defense is even better.
Yeah, it's tough. It's well, they call out the blocking schemes. They call out the defense. I mean, people don't realize what a center does. The Texans are at home against the Buffalo Bills. Now that's Luke Russert's team, right?
It is, and this is I don't know the identity of either one of these teams. Do you?
No,
like, I feel like,
no.
You know, they're both. Better than they were last year. One of them's going to make the playoffs this year because, you know, there's always like, and one of them's going to end up being who we thought they were, you know, some 7-9, 6-10 team. And this feels like one of those games where the winner of this game is the one that's on the right path.
You know, you ought to be in the sport. I'm glad if you were in the sports business, you'd have a job on a national TV too. The Colts are at home. This is actually my play of the day. I like the Colts -7. They're down to now recently over the Titans, who are struggling.
I wish I had gotten that 7. I only got 7.5.
You got .5.
I hated that half point. That half point.
You're killed. Looking at the New York Post, I bet.
that half point was a killer. I hope it's down to 7 by the time. I mean, you know, imaginary money.
Hopefully, it won't even matter.
I'm with you. I think stars. I think this is one they bust out.
Yeah, we say stars in the National Handicappers Bowl. The Ravens, who are about an hour from you, are at home playing the Carolina Panthers, who we've gotten to see quite a bit of this year. What do you think?
I have the Ravens. I can't figure them out. Every time I think that this is going to be a bad year for them. You know, they win a game, but they're without Pitta. I think you got to think the Panthers are going to pull this one off.
Yeah, I think you're right, and I don't think they're going to score a lot of points.
Yeah.
What a sad! But he did get paid $16 million guaranteed.
That messed up my fantasy too, because he's my backup.
Same here.
Matt McCrae.
Julius Thomas is on a bye.
Yep.
I've got a double hit. I got double hit on this one today.
I have Julius Thomas, too. I can't even remember who my tight end is. And I'm only in one fantasy league, and it's the Station's Fantasy League. The Steelers, who looked like world beaters last time I saw them, I guess this past Monday night, right? They're playing the Buccaneers, who look like Lovey just, you know.
Don't you just do that? There's always a bet against team. Isn't there one every year where you just say, you know what, I'm going to just bet against them?
Until they cover. Yeah, is that
Tampa
the
feels like that team?
I agree. They just don't have a clue, in my opinion. The Chargers are at home against the Jaguars, and the Jaguars went from being possibly a really good team, of course, with that defensive coordinator from Seattle being their head coach, and now who knows? They're 13.5. They're 13-point underdogs against the Chargers.
This is always a game that the Chargers somehow mess up.
Yep.
You know, this spread bothers me. They're going to win this game.
It's a trap.
Why do I think it's going to be a one-score game?
You're right, because it's a trap. It just looks like a trap. This is part of a three-team teaser with points now, not dollars, that I released earlier today. But there's a big difference between -3 and -13.
Yeah, that's for sure.
The 49ers, who look anything like the 49ers in the past 2 or 3 years, against the Eagles, who are figuring out ways to win. You know, they're 5-point favorites over the Eagles. This is going to be a good game.
I think it's my favorite game of the day. This is one I'm making time for. I want to watch it. If the Niners lose this game, do we start talking about Kaepernick being a sort of a flash in the pan?
You know, it's either that or Frank Gore's too old and their offensive line isn't good enough to run the football. That's what worries me about them. I think that their offensive line is average. And they've had, they've had some guys nicked up too. The problem that, that you have with the 49ers is as soon as you think they've got nothing, they'll show up one day and just beat up on you.
Yeah, but the Niners feel like that team this year. Everybody's going to go, what happened there? Harbaugh leaves for Michigan. You know, the whole thing comes undone.
Well, you know that we just had. If you listen to the show later. And because we do archive all of our shows, and we also have a replay from 2 to 4 in New York. We're on live up there from 10 to noon. We had Jess Root from the Arizona Cardinals on, and I picked the Cardinals as my dark horse NFC champion, and it's 17-1. And they could be the team there instead of San Francisco in the playoffs, I think.
I think that's right. I mean, I think that's right. It's going to be them in Seattle the whole way. I mean, the NFC West. Man, that's the who knew? Best division in football.
We're asleep when they play, right? We're always asleep when the West is playing. All right, we got a couple more games. You got the Falcons playing in Minnesota. Now, Minnesota's had their share of problems with all of this, you know, negative news with the NFL. But the Falcons are 3-point favorites over the Vikings. I just think they have too much talent not to win this game.
And I'm almost ready to put the Vikings in a bet against column right now, too. That you just go against them until Bridgewater starts showing something. I mean, isn't this his first start?
Yeah, it's his first start in the NFL.
First start, yeah. And the Falcons, they were easily everybody's the easy bounce back team to watch. This 3 points doesn't feel right. I think they're going to be they're going to win 11 games this year.
Yep, and last but not least, today the game that everybody's talking about in Dallas in the spaceship. The New Orleans Saints arrive there. Two teams that, well, they're average at best right now. What do you think?
Well, we got to – if this isn't the game that Breeze doesn't throw 400 yards, then what game is he going to throw 400 yards?
Right? Oh, please.
I mean, this is
– Can I ask you a question, Chuck?
My boys at NBC Sports, all we want is a shootout tonight, right?
Hey, can I –
You know, Just to have a 38-35 game, we'll be happy.
Can I ask you a question? How old is how old's your son now?
He's 7.
Now, is he a Washington
He's
football
as
fan?
He's not as Drew Brees. Yeah, you know what? I'm letting him be the hometown. I'm letting him pick all the hometown. I mean, he knows I'm a Packer fan, and he's into the Packers a little bit too. But you know, he's a Nats fan. You know,
hard not to be.
Well, that's right. They're too fun of a team to follow. But you know, he's. He wants to root for the Redskins, but as he says, they're terrible. And I said, yeah, you're right.
So he's a true Redskins
so
fan.
So he understands. Hey, listen, one day, Chuck, hopefully maybe you and a group of investors will purchase the team from Daniel Snyder, and we'll have a chance to play in the postseason
again.
That's
the issue.
Yeah, it is. You're right.
I mean, we all know what the issue is. Jeez.
It's just good to hear. We're talking to Chuck Todd from Meet the Press, NBC News. Chuck, I loved it when you were the White House correspondent. And you'd be, you know, I could always tell what I needed to wear by looking at you outside the White House. And if I could see your breath and you looked like you were really not comfortable, I knew it was cold because you generally handle that pretty good. Chuck Todd, everybody. Now, let me ask you this. This is not a big game, but it is the Patriots. Yeah. Who do you like on Monday night? Do you like either of those teams? The Chiefs are getting 3.5. I think that's probably the value.
I think there's value there. That feels right. Andy Reid is just somebody who's too good of a coach to let them just totally tank. And, you know, and it could be the gig is up for Brady. I mean, maybe this thing is done, and everybody needs to just realize that, hey, everybody gets old in this system. He doesn't look right back there.
No, you're right. He doesn't, and he doesn't have the tools that he's had, and not being able to run the football. Bill Belichick has to be able to run the football. Have you ever read the book?
But why isn't he's been complaining about the, you know, they've not had a running game for 7 years.
He just got rid of his best offensive lineman.
Yeah,
Logan Mankin has just left. Right, I mean he released him. You never know what Belichick's doing. Look, first of all, in my opinion, he stole 3 Super Bowls, and you know, people talk about let's get rid of Goodell because of all of this that we're looking at now. How about him allowing the Patriots?
Five. Yeah,
you know the story. I don't even want to go there.
I do, and you know, let's remember he doesn't work for 32 owners; he works for one.
Exactly.
He's always worked for one. He was Kraft's boy from the very beginning.
Well, there's
amazing how much power Kraft has accumulated.
Absolutely, and there's only three or four guys he listens to that are owners. The rest of them, he could care less what they have to say. Chuck, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show.
Hey, Bruce, we got
to do this once in a while just to catch up, okay?
You got it, my friend.
All right, buddy. Thanks, Chuck Todd, Meet the Press, my favorite guy on TV. We'll be back in a minute with more on News Talk 1230. Sports Talk 1230 WFAS for the first time in generations. The dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall. We'll be back in a minute.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294. Or by emailing us at brucehallsports@gmail.com. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
Well, that was exciting. You know, to have a guy that, and he's a young guy. He's probably like 40. He was at GW University in 90 through like 92. But, you know, Tim Russert brought him to NBC. And Timmy Russert, of course, died suddenly of a heart attack, and it was a sad day. And for anybody that ever watched TV and was interested in politics at all, and Chuck has become one of the standout guys. And I never understood, you know, personally why was it David Gregory was the guy. Mm-hmm. I mean, I never watched the show when he was on it because it wasn't that exciting. And but I did used to watch Chuck's show on him. Morning Show. Yes. Is it Morning Joe or what's
it? No, it's called? It's a Daily Rundown.
That's right, Daily Rundown.
I wanted to ask him what the
look, I don't turn on MSNBC that often, but when Chuck's on, I do. And the Fox Network is too dramatic for me. It's starting to get to the point where I could care less for watching anything. I just soon read. Because you know what's funny? In this day and age, and I mean this, all the newspapers seem to be reporting all of the facts. I've never seen the Washington Post so more in the middle with all of their articles and all of their columns as they are now. They're not like they used to be. Now, the New York Times kind of is, but the Post is different. Now, maybe that's because most of their stuff is geared towards the internet now. I mean, I think everybody is. But I still read newspapers. Like, I went out this morning and bought four newspapers. I've read everything I needed to read. And now, and when I go home and watch, you know, all of the football games and listen and watch a little bit of the Nats games, I'll be reading, you know, everything and probably fall asleep about 4 o'clock and wake up about 7. Then I'll read some more. I'm Bruce Hall, and you're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. I'm here in the studio with Matt Lynch. My buddy who takes care of me here. And Roy is celebrating his brother Christopher's birthday with some friends and their wives. And we're just going to have a lot of fun. We're going to go over my picks today. And I'm going to start getting more and more into that because we are finding out that people really do want to see how I'm doing. Now, last week, not 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago. Last week, I had a great, if you go to NH Bowl, you know, I am monitored by the National Handicappers Bowl. It's a guy named Phil Richards, who is not a cheater. He's a straight up guy. He's a Chicago guy, right outside of there. Involved with Pro Football Weekly, which is still a periodical that a lot of people like to read. I love Pro Football Weekly, but I don't learn anything reading Pro Football Weekly because it's all the stuff I already know. But if I was going to, you know, do a magazine, it would be probably a smaller version of Pro Football Weekly. But what I like doing is I like to get smart. I don't know if you listen, we just had Chuck Todd from Meet the Press on, and Chuck is a very knowledgeable NFL guy. I mean, he pointed out some things to me that only a beat writer would say, or only a beat writer would know. And it's just nice to know that these guys that we see on television are just normal guys like, you know, everybody else. And it was fun to have him on, and hopefully we'll have him on again. Let's go over a couple of things. You know, I didn't give you my picks, but I'm going to give you my picks and I'm going to go through them. We're almost down to about a minute before the break. Let's talk about how big of a day this is. I'm also going to report on the Ryder Cup here shortly because I'm not watching it, but some of you who are driving that do not have access to a television are going to want to know how we're doing. You know, we were down 4 points with, what, 12 matches left? I mean, that means you have to win 9-3, I think, to win, because we have to win by an extra half of a point to win anyway. So if we don't win 9 matches, it's over. I think if we go 8-4, we lose. Yes, we do lose, you know, in the Ryder Cup. And I'll have that information when we get back, too. I was going to have Bruce Bochy on today, but I'm going to wait because they have their last game of the year today, and there are some things happening in Major League Baseball that we need to talk about that are going to be unbelievable. We could have the most historic day in the history of last days of Major League Baseball. Be back in a minute with more on News Talk Sports Talk 1230 WFAS.
This is Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it.
Brought to you by the National Association of Realtors.
Swung on and hit in the air to deep right center. It is high. It is far. It is gone.
Bruce Hall gives you all the latest sports news from a handicapper's perspective.
What the hell's going on out here?
Join the conversation by calling in at 240-317-7294. Now, here's your host.
They are who we thought they were. And we let him off the hook.
Bruce Hall and Roy G.
Details, details, details. Well, there's certainly not been a whole lot of, Roger Goodell talk lately. And it's kind of neat how they've done it. They basically just do what they always do, which is pull the rug out, cut everybody off. And there really isn't. I mean, Matt, can you tell that there's nothing going on right now? Now, I know on Capitol Hill, everybody's gone. But everybody's not gone in the NFL. We're still playing football yet. When's the last time you heard anything about Baltimore? And
actually, SNL had two NFL sketches last night.
Now, see, I missed it. Okay. We taped it, though. I was asleep.
You'll like it.
Will it? Was it good?
Especially the second. The first one was...
Was it the second elevator? One? Was it the elevator?
No elevator. It was.
Was there any elevator chin music? Elevator chin music. Oh, I like that.
No,
something.
No, they took out Goodell in the intro, and then they also did a sort of a take. It was very Key and Peele esque.
Did you get my? Did you get me? I sent you the email that had all of my stuff that you could put in all my I sent it to that.
Oh, at 6:24 a.m. What the heck were you doing?
I get up at 5 o'clock when I have a show. I have to be prepared. We're going to, I'm going to go over and I'm going to do NFL now. If you go, I'm going to look at it right now. Yes, we've already had Chuck out. I'm trying to get Mike Wallace on before the end of the show to talk about baseball. Today in baseball is going to be, there's an opportunity, I think, to have as many as 3 tiebreakers tomorrow. Kansas City could end up having a tiebreaker with Detroit if they end up tied. There's no way. San Francisco is definitely a visitor wherever they go. But Pittsburgh, you know, the Pittsburgh Pirates are one game. No, they're tied with the not the Dodgers. Dodgers are in. They have the best record. But Pittsburgh Pirates are tied with not Milwaukee, but St. Louis Cardinals. The team I picked to win it all this year. The St. Louis Cardinals. Mm-hmm. They're tied still. If they both lose today, St. Louis is the winner. But if Pittsburgh wins and St. Louis wins, then Pittsburgh wins the division, and the Giants have to go to St. Louis to play the wild card game. It's a big difference. If you win today and you win the division, you're guaranteed a best out of 5 series. If you lose today and lose the division, you're going to get 1 game to see whether you get to a best of 5 series. So it's a big deal. It really is. It's pretty complicated. I actually, let's go over the games. Miami minus 3.5 over Oakland. The total is 42. Nobody cares about this game in London, England. It's going on basically the same time. Well, it's after the Ryder Cup, but if you're at the Ryder Cup, you're damn sure not going to be at this game. Miami has some interesting things going on there. Their starting quarterback thinks he's starting, but Joe Philbin said he wasn't. But evidently, Philbin's just being weird. And I think so is the quarterback. The Raiders are so bad, I don't think it's going to matter. I'm going to pass on this game. There's no way. Can you give me another game? Yeah, we're going to do that even though Roy's not here. What were
Sorry,
you,
I'm putting
are you putting
up the,
that up?
I'll put your picks up. So you
He's
can go
putting my
Bruce
picks on BruceAllSports.com, and you can follow us as we go. Green Bay's minus 2 at Chicago. This was the game that meant a lot to our guest that we just had on, Chuck Todd. He's a Packer fan. Chicago is the underdog, which is a little strange. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that I think 8 out of the last 9 games between the two teams, while Aaron Rodgers has been the quarterback of the Packers have won. They also cover pretty regularly. They're struggling right now with a lot of things. He was talking about they're struggling with a center, and that's a problem when your center's injured. But generally speaking, it doesn't take too long to get a guard in there that can learn how to call defenses and plays. His receiving core, he hasn't really gotten around to. He's got, Corliss, the tight end. He's got, Jordy Nelson, who is one of the best receivers in the league and is actually on my fantasy league team. Please, Aaron, throw the ball to Jordy. Their running game is a good one when they're making holes for Eddie Lacy and James Starks. But, they've been up and down, hot and cold, and nothing's really getting done. Hopefully they'll get their offense together. The Bears' defense is banged up, too. Rodgers has won 8 of his last 9 games against the Bears. Cutler's looked fine, even though he's been throwing to 2 banged-up wide receivers. But their tight end is doing a great job. Matt Forte is a class act. He's good running the football. He's good out of the backfield. On Monday night, he didn't do much, but he did just enough for me to win my first fantasy league game of the year. All I needed was him to get like 3 points, and he didn't get 3 points in the first half.
So you're the one who watched that game.
I watched that game, and I couldn't wait. The play here, according to Bruce Hall, is take the over 50.5 points. It's 50.5, 50.5 points. I can see this going over because both offenses have got to go. I think Green Bay is going to jump out. And I think, if Cutler wants to stay close, he's going to have to move the ball down the field. I don't think either defense is that good. I really don't. I think last week was more a problem with the Green Bay offense than it was the Detroit defense being so good. I mean, Detroit's always got a pretty good defense. But come on, they're not going to stop Aaron Rodgers in a good passing game. I'm taking the over for 5 stars. Next game. Houston minus 3 over Buffalo. Buffalo has the better. From what I understand, Arian Foster's not going to play. He's a game time decision. And I might go to Twitter here over the next break and find out for all you people. Because if you're taking Houston minus 3, you better have Arian Foster starting the game. Because you don't have Ben Tate this year. It's Teddy Bridgewater's first game. But you know what he's got? Bridgewater's got C.J. Spiller and Fred Jackson to hand the ball off to. I could see Buffalo winning this game outright. As a matter of fact, this might not be a bad money play, meaning you just bet Buffalo to win and you're probably getting 3-2 odds on the game. I got the final score, Buffalo 23, Houston 20, but I'm passing on the game because Houston needs to win and they're at home. The Washington team to be named later is they went into Houston and even though they moved the ball up and down the field, they only scored 6 points. I just don't have a lot of confidence in Houston. Even at home, I'm taking Buffalo. No, I'm not. I'm not taking Buffalo. But if you're going to take a team, take Buffalo as the home dog. Next game, Matthew. Got time for one more game before the break. Indianapolis. And you know what this is? This is my... That's right. This is my straight cash homie play. And me being my straight cash homie play, it better be strong. I got Indianapolis.
Straight cash, homie.
Yeah, Randy, you better come through for me. You did not last week. Actually, he did. And this would have been my second week in a row with Indianapolis as my straight cash homie play. -7.5 over Tennessee. Jake Locker is probably not going to play. It's Charlie Whitehurst. Charlie Whitehurst has won a few games as a coming into games when there's been an injury before. He runs the ball a little bit too. He's pretty athletic like Jake Locker. But honestly, I don't see anybody doing anything to Andrew Luck in this Indianapolis offense. I think the Indianapolis defense is okay. But Tennessee's just, they're not great, but Tennessee is just not strong enough to really make anything happen. I would like to see Akeem Nicks, who I've had a lot of bad things to say about in the last 2 years, because I just feel like he doesn't care about anything but money. He is a UNC former player. I'd say graduate, but that's probably not true. And I don't know if that's true or not, but I'm just guessing he might not have. They've gotten in so much trouble about their academics in the last 2 or 3 years. I'd like to see the guy become a part of it. If it wasn't for Dwayne Allen and Kobe Fleener, both tight ends who have caught 16 passes for about 200 yards, Indianapolis wouldn't really have a second receiver. T.Y. Hilton's hurt a little bit. He's banged up. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see what happens. But I'm taking Indy anyway at home. They are opening the roof today, I understand. They're not closing it. So it's going to be a beautiful day in Indianapolis. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall for Matt Lynch. We'll be back in a minute with more of News Talk Sports Talk, 1230 WFAS.
Welcome back to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. You can stay up to date all week by going to BruceHallSports.com or by going to Facebook.com/BruceHallSports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
Got one of my favorite people on the line here. We're going to talk about something that we talked about not too long ago before the season started anyway. My long shot at the Super Bowl, my long shot at the NFC title is the Arizona Cardinals. And, of course, we've got Jess Root, the author of Revenge of the Birds. He is an SB Nation beat writer and blogger and one of the best guys you'll ever meet in your life. Jess, welcome to the show, buddy.
Thanks for the kind words. How you doing, Bruce?
I'm doing great. Listen, anybody that'll come on my show before they take their kids to church, in my opinion, deserves kind words. I mean, that's what life's all about. You know, they haven't played great, and they've had some injuries. They've been beat up. But the Cards, somehow or another, have found their way to be 3-0. And, you know, a lot in a year where Seattle's probably not quite as good as they used to be, even though I picked them to go back to the Super Bowl in my original picks. And then, you know, San Francisco looks like there's just, I mean, there's not a lot. I mean, they're not the same team they've been in the past. This is going to be a good year, I think, for the Cards if they can stay healthy and keep scoring points and playing defense. What do you think, buddy? What do you see as being the real reason they're starting out so great?
Well, the first thing that you see is they're playing really well in the second half. They're making all sorts of adjustments. You look at a San Francisco game just a week ago. Colin Kaepernick and the 49ers moved the first couple of times down the pitch. Moved up and down the field. They seemed like they had no answer for Kaepernick. But then defensive coordinator Ray Horton has been notorious for doing this, is after halftime or after a quarter or a quarter and a half, the adjustments kick in, and they're incredible. I think they're, what, like 10-2 after last week's bye, last year's bye. So they've been one of the best football teams over the last three quarters of a year, and it's because they're making enough plays offensively. They did that again last week, and defensively, they just locked teams down in the second half.
Yeah, you know, the thing I like so much about the Cardinals is I know their defensive coordinator, Todd Bowles. He's a former Redskin player. He's a great guy, has been a phenomenal coach. Everywhere he's been, He's picked up the level of the defense where he's coached. And you've got Bruce Arians, who, let's face it, at an age where he's almost my age, he's probably in his mid to upper 50s, Bruce has developed into kind of the best offensive mind and probably the most consistent offensive mind in the NFL. I mean, am I being kind of giving him too much credit here, or is that what he is?
Well, even more than the offensive scheme, because he's got a scheme that's been proven to be successful if you've got the right people. I mean, he was able to go to the playoffs as an offensive coordinator with Tim Couch.
So, yeah, I remember from Kentucky. Jeez, Tim Couch. But, I had forgot about Tim Couch
when he was coaching when he was OC back in Cleveland.
Right,
he's had great success with young quarterbacks, but.
Ben Roethlisberger too. Yeah,
is his communication, the communication he has with his players.
Right,
they buy into his system, and now they have the talent. They have better talent on the offensive line, so that they're not. It doesn't look like it'll be like 2012. They started out 4-0, and then just the wheels fell off.
Yeah, no, I hear you, Drew Stanton. I mean, here's a guy that was the starting quarterback at the University of Michigan when Tom Brady showed up. And he's the reason Tom Brady didn't play till his junior year in college. And Drew, you know, was up and down. I mean, he wasn't even employed at times in the NFL. Now, all of a sudden, he shows up in that offense with that head coach and, you know, coordinator. And he is looking like he could take them, you know, to 10, 11, 12 wins. Tell me about Stanton, because I really don't get to see him that often except in highlights.
Well, Stanton is a guy who before his start in New York against the Giants, he hadn't started in 4 years. It was in 2010 when he was a member of the Lions was the last time he got started. And it was a case of just bad luck because people believed that he could be a starter, but then he... You know, Matt Stafford got drafted, and then he went to New York, and then they traded for Tebow. Then they let him go there because of everything that happened there.
That was the best thing that ever happened to him leaving New York, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. And then he ends up in Indianapolis where they drafted Andrew Luck. So then he signed with the Cardinals, and the Cardinals traded for Carson Palmer. He was with Arians in 2012.
Right.
And Arians was impressed with how he improved and how he grasped the system. And Stanton ended up being the very first free agent that the Cardinals picked up with the new regime. Sat for a year last year. Arians always raved about him, about how good he is, how much he trusts him. And he finally got the chance to show it. I mean, he was rather inconsistent in the first game, which is understandable with 4 years of rust. But he made plays. Yeah. Against San Francisco, he made big throws.
He's real athletic. Yeah, he's real athletic, and he was a baseball player too. I think he might have got drafted out of high school to play baseball, and it was like a big decision. I want to say it was the Yankees, and it was a big decision on whether he was going to actually sign a professional contract or go to the University of Michigan to play football. And it was almost at the last minute he decided to go to Michigan.
I think you're mistaking him with Drew Henson.
That's who I'm mistaking him with. You know what? That's the way my
he was another Detroit quarterback. Stanton actually met from Michigan State, but yeah, he does have a little baseball background in him. But no, Henson was the guy for Detroit that they picked, who went to Michigan, was ahead of Brady, got beat out, played baseball.
Thank you for correcting me. You know, those guys could be one and the same guys because they're journeyman backup quarterbacks, and they're all from the same.
Yeah.
Now do you see how my mind compartmentalizes things without absolute facts? Hey, we're talking to Jess Root. Jess is the author of Revenge of the Birds. He's a beat writer in Phoenix, Arizona. He takes care of all of the information, and you're on Twitter. How does somebody? What's your Twitter handle?
Well, my personal Twitter account is Senor Jess Root. That's Senor Jessroot. Senor Jess Root. That's my handle there on Twitter.
Yeah, and I got to tell you, if you don't follow Jess, you're not going to know what's going on out there. The guy doesn't sleep. I mean, I think, how many kids you got? Four? He's got four children,
four, yeah.
And he's young, and he doesn't sleep. And he's either up too late or he's up too early, because every time I get on Twitter, there he is. And he's, you know, he's throwing stuff out there, which I absolutely appreciate. And so do a lot of other writers. Because, you know, when you're on the East Coast, Jess, you know, it's really hard to get great information out West, because we just don't see all of that stuff, especially baseball. You know, if I didn't have a best friend that was the manager of the San Francisco Giants, I would never know what's going on out there. But, you know, because I stay up till 1 and 2 o'clock in the morning, sometimes I'm forced to watch it. Hey, John Brown, this wide receiver, that's probably a pretty good slot guy. I think they're putting him out on the edge too. Some, he is something special, isn't he?
He really is. It's been interesting. As a third round pick, you don't like hyping up players too much. But ever since in minicamp and OTAs were going on, Bruce Arians and Steve Keim, the general manager, has just done nothing but rave about this kid. He's quiet, he's short, he's fast. Yeah. No one could cover him in off-season workouts. He was great during training camp. They like him like T.Y. Hilton produced for Arians in 2012, that sort of impact. And now through three games, he's got three touchdowns. He's been proven when he gets open that there's no one who can cover him.
Right.
So, yeah, he's had a huge impact.
Oh, that's phenomenal. Hey, you know, all of the – you know, my son is big into fantasy, and I have a fantasy team. And this kid, John Brown, he got picked up quick in the last couple of weeks because he put some really good numbers up. And when they're double-teaming Larry Fitzgerald, I mean, there are going to – if you're good, you're going to be open. You know, you're going to make plays. How's Michael Floyd doing?
Well, he's got to – it's interesting if you look at the numbers. Brown, Fitz, and Floyd, they all have roughly the same amount of catches. Floyd is getting big plays down the field. He's had, I think, 4 catches of over 20 yards of his 11 receptions, I think it is. So he's having an impact. He had a really big first game, a really big third game, and he had a quiet game, too, is what it was. In Stanton's first start. Well, but Floyd is having a good year, and he's expected to make those type of plays all year long.
Yeah, you know, they are a true team. They really are, and I don't expect them to really do anything except improve a little bit. Now, Carson Palmer is still hurt. Is he going to be able to come back this coming week, do you think?
The belief is yes. He said the nerve issue, he had a nerve issue in his shoulder, so he couldn't – he said over the last week, was it Thursday or Wednesday, his nerve finally woke up late at night or early in the morning when he got up.
Right.
And so he threw a little bit in Wednesday's practice. He's going to continue to get treatment the bye week or after bye week, so they had no practice Thursday, Friday, or today. And I think they go back to practice on Tuesday.
That'll be.
And he expects that he'll be able to play, that he'll be able to amp up the workload on with his arm by the end of the next week, and he should play, but you know, assuming there are no setbacks, of course.
Right, we got about a minute left here, Jess, in the segment, and I've noticed you've been doing pretty good in your picks. Give me your 2 or 3 top straight plays today against the point spread. Go ahead, buddy.
Well, the one I like the most is Tennessee in Indianapolis. Tennessee's not that good, and Indy's favorite was, I think, 7.5. I've got that as one of my 3 locks. And then for the underdog picks, I actually like Dallas. I like Dallas against the Saints because of, one, they're playing in Dallas, and the New Orleans, who they believe have a – what is it, over the last...
They're struggling on the road. Well, they always struggle on the road. They're like... they've lost their last 11 out of 12, I think.
Yeah, the home team covered what, like 18 out of the last 21 times that Sean Payton coaches the Saints on the road.
Correct.
And so those are kind of the 2 big ones. I don't like them in the London game.
Oh.
I really don't like... that's going to be an ugly game.
Who would even go to that game? With the Ryder Cup on. Actually, it'll be over by then.
I like the Raiders in the London game, but I definitely wouldn't go with the over on that game. I think it will be an ugly game.
No, I totally agree with you. Well, listen, it sounds to me like you're going to have your hands full keeping track of this really good Cardinal team. I wish you luck with them, Jess, and I can't thank you enough for coming on the show on this Sunday morning. Thank you, buddy. Jess Root, everybody.
See you, Bruce.
Hey, see you later, Jess. For the first,
all
right, buddy. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on News Talk, Sports Talk, 1230 WFAS.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or on Twitter, hashtag BHSports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
Oh, I'll tell you what, Jess Root hit it right on the head. They do a little bit more than just offense in Arizona. They're going to be winning some more football games this year. And the interesting thing I heard was, you know, they've won eight out of their last 10 games they've played. And with San Francisco struggling a little bit, I look for Seattle and funny that I should say this. This is exactly what Chuck Todd said. Chuck said, there's probably a good chance they're going to be right there with the Seattle Seahawks at the end of the season. I think he's right. Let's go back over the rest of my football scores. I'm going to get those done. Then I'm going to have Chris Johnson. CJ is going to call in and talk about the Ryder Cup. I figure, why should I sit here and try to, you know, pull it up? Don't have it on the TV right now. Trying to get some stuff done. I'm going to have CJ tell us what's going on. And that'll be the way to do it. We were just talking about Indianapolis. I'm taking them for 5 stars. That's my straight cash homie play of the week. Baltimore is -3 over the Carolina Panthers. Why don't you give me the old... Oh. .42 is the total. This could go under because I would say that both of these teams, especially with Dennis Pitt out for this season, and maybe for a longer time than that, Baltimore is going to have a little trouble scoring points against the Carolina defense. They've got guys to throw to. Kelvin Benjamin from Florida State University is doing a great job. He's a rookie. Greg Olsen is their number one target. Cam's rating is just under 100. Shoot, his backups is 119.8. They can throw the football, and I'm not entirely sure if the Baltimore Ravens can defense a thrown ball. So this could go either way. Steve Smith, you know, wants to win this one bad. He is signed as a free agent with the Ravens. He probably will retire as a Carolina Panther, obviously. I mean, this guy's going to probably be in the Hall of Fame. I'm going to pass on the game. It's just too tight. I got Baltimore winning this game 23-20. I think it's going to be that kind of a game. I think Baltimore has to win the game to be competitive in their division because this isn't a game you would expect them to lose. Detroit is -1.5. I love it. This is Roy's job, but I'm doing it now. Detroit's -1.5 over the Jets. The total's 44.5. I love Detroit most of the week. And then I realized Stephen Tulloch hurt himself celebrating a sack of Aaron Rodgers last week. He tried to do the discount double check thing, and he tore his ACL. Well, let me explain.
A celebration that will live in infamy.
Yeah, the only thing I can tell you is the only thing more stupid than that is a kicker doing it, and that's happened before too.
Or a quarterback running into a wall.
Well, here is another. Here's another thing I really don't – I have a problem with Stephen Tulloch. Stephen used to be a Tennessee Titan. He was a great linebacker. I think he led the league in tackles 1 year. He was there when Schwartz was the defensive coordinator. He's been in Detroit a couple of years, but Tulloch said when he was interviewed this week, would he do it all over again? And he said, yes!
He's had
wait a minute. Let me get this straight. You just tore the ACL in your left knee, and – and you make I don't know, $6-7 million a year playing football, right? And if you had it to do all, and you're out for at least a year, but if you had it to do all over again, you would do it again.
This is his 15 minutes of fame. Everybody has seen that video online now. Everybody. Everybody knows his name. It may be, it's 15 minutes of infamy, but it's still 15 minutes.
You know, if the Jets lose this game, they're going to be 1-6 in mid-October. If they're 1-6 in mid-October, my call of them going 9-7 and going to the playoffs is probably about a 2% chance that happens. They have to win this game, and Detroit really doesn't have to win it, because I think that you're going to be able to win the NFC North Division with Chicago and Green Bay and Detroit in it in Minnesota. I think you're going to be able to win that with an 8-8 or 9-7 record anyway. And Detroit is 2-1, and the Jets have to win this game. They just have to win this game. They can't go 1-3. It's impossible. If they do, they're in trouble. They should be able to run the football with Ivory and Chris Johnson. The problem they're going to have is if they don't put enough pressure on Matthew Stafford to get to him and upset his rhythm throwing the football to, oh, that's right, Calvin Johnson. Oh, that's right, Golden Tate. They're going to be in big trouble. Oh, they also have a guy named Reggie Bush, who's pretty damn good out of the backfield. They also have Joik Bell, who is a really good running back, catches the ball out of the backfield. I'm passing on the game. I had to. You know, I actually sent this into the National Handicappers Bowl, nhbowl.com, and I actually sent them another, because I have all this information. I have a passcode I have to put in so nobody else changes my picks. And I went in, I went, scratch my Lions pick. Because I just realized I didn't like it enough to take the Jets, but I liked it enough to scratch Detroit. Next game, Matthew. The Pittsburgh Steelers. Boy, this is a, you know, the only thing I'm wondering is they've had, what, two coaches in 35, well, they've had three coaches in about 40 years, maybe 45 years. They had Chuck Knoll, late 60s, early 70s, into almost the 80s. Then they had Bill Cowher, as soon as he got out of NC State, was an assistant there, then became head coach there. And he was there for a long time, left a little early. One of the reasons was his wife was real sick. She passed away from cancer, and he went home to be with the girls. And now he's, you know, on TV and making $1 million, $2 million a year doing, you know, network television. But, you know, and now, you know, they've got a coach that, well, in my opinion, he does a pretty damn good job. I don't see him going anywhere. But I'm not real sure that...
Well, he has a ring already.
Yeah, well, he's got that ring is saving his behind, too. Now, I will say this past weekend on Monday night, they looked pretty damn good. They had two guys that rushed for 100 yards each, and it's the first time that they have had 200-yard rushers in the same game in 32 years. That's a long damn time. That's Franco Harris, Rocky Blyer. Is who that was.
They're also in a division that has had Baltimore going to the championship game.
Yeah.
What, three times in the past 4 years?
Yeah, but Pittsburgh is...
Don't quote me on that.
Pittsburgh is the, you know, they're the team everybody thinks about. They're the team that travels. Everywhere you go, there's terrible towels. I mean, it doesn't matter. When the Redskins... Did I say Redskins? Oh, my God. And by the way, there is so much funny crap out there right now about the Redskins' name. South Park is the nut. As far as I'm concerned, that was phenomenal. When and Matt and I were talking about it. We'll talk about it later. Next one. I want to get this in. Philly and San Francisco. I'm passing on this game. I like San Francisco a little bit -5, but I'm not taking them because I don't trust them. I am taking the over. This is going over. The weather's fine. 50.5 points is fine. I think the final score of this game is going to be 34-28. I'm not. You know, Nick Foles is a tough son of a gun. Take the over 50.5. And another game, real quick, Matt. Oh, I'm sorry. Atlanta and Minnesota. Atlanta's -3 over Minnesota. I'm taking Atlanta to beat Minnesota and cover for 4 stars. Vikings are too banged up. Like Chuck Todd says, you got to pick a team to bet against. Minnesota is one of those teams. And New Orleans and Dallas, Sunday night game. Take the over. It's going to be a shootout, 38-35. I don't even care who wins because I'm taking over 53.5 points. Dallas never has a home field advantage at home. New Orleans doesn't win on the road, so you have two losers here. So take the over. We'll be back in a minute with Ryder Cup news and Chris Johnson.
Welcome back to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. You can stay up to date all week by going to BruceHallSports.com or by going to Facebook.com/BruceHallSports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
We're back. I've got Clark Judge on the line. Clark, thanks for calling in.
My pleasure, Bruce.
Hey, listen, let's talk real quick about Eli Manning and this upstart New York Giants team. How great was that?
Well, you live in the Washington metropolitan area. It wasn't so great down there, but from here, I'm in New York. It's a real breath of fresh air because we've seen nothing but no offense or horrible offense all summer, early in the season, and people were telling me that he'll get this. He'll come around. I didn't believe it, and honestly, I don't know that we can read too much into one game, but I will tell you this. From the very beginning, when they stunk in Detroit, they've been getting better each week. And that's the thing I always took stock in, is that they're improving. They may not be winning, they lost the first two games, but you go, they've improved. And then when they lost that game to Drew Stanton in Arizona, I thought, boy, that's how bad this team is. They can't even beat a backup. Well, then San Francisco loses those guys, and now we see that Arizona's undefeated. But they're playing well, and he looks now like the Eli Manning who won two Super Bowls. That's, you know, the short term. It's against the Redskins. D'Angelo Hall is not playing. Let's just see how this plays out. But at least he's improving. So is this team. As I said, it's good news for a New York area that's losing its best professional player today, and that's Derek Jeter.
I think you exactly. And I think you touched on it earlier when you were on earlier a week or two ago. You had mentioned that in you know during the practice sessions, the preseason isn't what it used to be. And a lot of times when they're coming out and they look flat their first game or two, it's because they're not really ready to play yet. And then all of a sudden, you know, they get a couple of games under them and it's like they've finished the preseason. Now they're ready to play. Hopefully the Giants will stay tough. Let's talk real quick about the other team up there. If they lose today, the Jets go 1-3. It's over if you look at their schedule if they go 1-3. Is that right?
Yeah, they got a brutal schedule. It's not over, but they've got a brutal schedule. If you have any hopes of making the playoffs, and they tell us they're a playoff team, they've been telling us that all summer, well, you're going to have to beat a team like Detroit. Detroit's not that good. I know they beat Green Bay last week, and they beat them pretty easily, but it's just not that good a ball club. Remember, as we talked about that on the show before, the door was wide open for them to win that division last year. Wide open. Nobody wanted to win it. And the Lions couldn't close the deal. And they kept blowing games. I think, as I said, in five of the last six games, I think they had fourth quarter leads. Kept blowing it. They didn't want to win it. Now look at this game. And I think this is a chance for an upset. I mean, I know the line's very thin, but I think the Jets can win it. They just can't turn the ball over.
You know, right.
Bruce, it's the same old story. Geno Smith is a turnover machine. He's got to clean up that act. And if he doesn't, they may reach for Michael Vick, which to me is a disaster because, A, you kill this kid's confidence. You got to let him play it out. Let's see what we got. I don't think he's going to be anything different than what you had Mark Sanchez. Well, let's just see. But secondly, Michael Vick's a turnover machine too. I mean, two things we know about him. He's going to get hurt, and he's going to turn the ball over. He fumbles a lot, throws interceptions. So that's not a good solution either. So I'd keep this guy in there, but they've got to clean it up. He keeps giving the ball away. They've got to clean that up. I think they can win this game, and I think they will.
Yeah, I think you're right, I'm hoping for. We're talking to Clark Judge, my favorite NFL guy, at Clark Judge, capital TOF. And that stands for Talk of Fame. Everything's going good with that show. And I love the fact that I get to hear it anytime I want.
Well, that's the idea. That's the idea, Bruce. Listen, it's on at really weird times at some places. And I think if you just put it on there so people can listen to it whenever they want, I don't expect people to listen to the whole 2 hours. But we have interview segments broken up. So if you want to listen to the people we talk to. And last week, I mean, I just love the guys we had. We had Bruce Arians on last week. We had Tim Brown. And they were great. So I appreciate the plug.
Yeah, no, listen, Clark, what I'm seeing a lot of, you know, what's really funny is I haven't heard a word in 2 or 3 days about the NFL and the problems that we were hearing about 24/7. It's almost like this has been swept under the rug. Let's get around to playing football. This is going on. This is going on. I'm kind of happy for that, but the problem's not going to go away, is it?
No, no, it's not. It hasn't been swept under the rug. I mean, that's what an investigative process is all about. They're working behind the scenes. They're not telling us everything that's going on, nor should they. Whenever you find something come out, it's from someone who's dug up something, you know, behind the scenes. But they're doing an investigative process right now. It's going to take weeks and may take months. Who knows? But, you know, I saw a report the other day in the New York Post. It said, you know, AP confirms that law official sent this videotape to the NFL office. Well, wait a minute. Didn't we have that story 3 weeks ago? Oh,
yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and Jeff Miller at the league office says, I never received it. Well, all they did was they identified whom it was addressed to, because that was one of my questions. Who was that addressed to? And it was Jeff Miller, who's the head of security there. He goes, I unequivocally deny that I've received it or that I looked at the video. I know him, and I know when he says I unequivocally deny, that means he never saw it. You better believe him. So, you know, that's what we're getting, bits and pieces. I just want to hear what happens when Robert Mueller steps forward and says, here's what we got. It's going to take a while, Bruce. It's going to take a long time.
You know, I totally agree. Talking to Clark Judge with Talk of Fame Network. Clark, if you had to pick out two or three games today that you really like,
right,
you know, for recreational purposes only, who would you be looking at?
Well, at the top of the list is Philadelphia and San Francisco. That game really intrigues me.
Yep.
The 49ers are better than what they show unless they're in such disarray starting from the top on down that this is going to be one of those lost seasons. They've got talent galore. But keep in mind, Jim Harbaugh is not signed to a multi-year deal. I mean, he's still got his current contract, and now there are questions about, is he leaving? I mean, is he staying? What's going on? Who's holding this thing up? And that can filter down to the players, and the players are undisciplined right now. They're taking stupid penalties, and they're just not playing well. But the bottom line is, Bruce, look at the second half.
Yeah,
they've been outscored in the second half of games 52-3. They haven't scored one fourth period point. What about the Eagles? They're the yin to their yang. I mean, they outscore opponents by 50 points in the second half. So you want to find out what's going to happen this game? Tune in at the start of the fourth quarter, because if Philadelphia's starting to put up points and the 49ers, their usual stagnant selves, it's over. But I think the San Francisco has to make a stand here. They're at home. People now are going, this, you know, we were 1-2 last year, but this feels like a different 1-2. They've got to get this thing turned around. Players are complaining. Frank Gore saying, I'm not getting enough touches. They got to get it turned around. Honestly, the Dallas-New Orleans game is another one. And New Orleans has got to do something here, too. They've been a huge disappointment to me. Huge disappointment.
You know, that Dallas-New Orleans game is really interesting, because it's two teams that really don't play well where they are. Dallas has never had a home field advantage in the spaceship ever.
That's right.
And you know what? New Orleans doesn't play well on the road. But somebody's got to win this game unless it's a tie, right?
Somebody's got to win this game. And, you know, with all the problems that Dallas has got on its secondary, actually their defense has played a lot better than I thought. I thought they were going to be historically awful. It's New Orleans that's got the problems with its defense. And you saw the second game of the season, they're up in Cleveland. Brian Hoyer gets the ball at his own 4-yard line. He's got to basically drive the length of the field. Well, he does it. Brian Hoyer. You couldn't stop the Cleveland Browns and Brian Hoyer. Well, if that's the case, how are you going to stop Tony Romo and the Cowboys? They're going to get some help here because, as you mentioned, Dallas doesn't play well at home. I think New Orleans understands what's going on here. Drew Brees has lit up these guys before when they had credible defensive backs in there. Now where it's getting Skandrick in place of Claiborne, and they've got sort of, you know, some rumblings of dissension there. But they're 2-1. I mean, they're home. They're 2-1. It's not a home field advantage, but I think New Orleans, not only think, I know, New Orleans is a better team. They got to clean up that defense. I mean, time for Rob Ryan to get this thing straightened out. You know, last year, Jerry Jones was saying, yeah, maybe we did make a mistake letting him go. Well, Rob Ryan's got to prove now today that was the case, that they did make a mistake. I'll be honest with you, I like Green Bay, Chicago, because, again, there's another 1-2 team, Green Bay. They got to be better than that. They own Chicago when Aaron Rodgers is playing. And what do we know about Jay Cutler? He can't beat the Packers. He's 1-9 against these guys. So I like Green Bay.
Yeah, you know what? That's going to be a great game, too. And, you know, the weather's really fine everywhere. I don't think there's a rainy game anywhere. If you had to pick, we've got a couple of minutes left in the segment, then we got to say goodbye, and I gotta hit the road. But Clark, let me ask you a question. If you had to pick the top team in the AFC and the top team in the NFC right now, who would be your two picks?
Well, the top team in the AFC is my top team overall, and that's Cincinnati.
Oh, God. You like them.
That's the good news. And the better news for them, it's not January. Because when it's January, they turn to pumpkins. I'm sorry. They just can't. They can play well during the season, and they look awfully good right now. But when it turns to January, they can't win a game. And people tell me, this will be different. I've heard that for so long. Bruce, when's the last time they won a playoff game? 1991.
Yeah.
That's the last time. Marvin Lewis, 0-5. Andy Dalton, 0-3. So, anyway, that's my pick in the AFC. NFC, closer call. I think Seattle's the best team right now. I told you before, I don't think they'll end up – in fact, I'm sure they will not end up in a Super Bowl just because it doesn't happen these days. But I'd say Arizona, and I'll tell you why.
I love that pick.
Well, I'll tell you why. They're 10-2 over the last 12 regular season games.
Yep.
And included in that, Bruce, that's the best record.
Yeah.
And included in that, they've gone to Seattle and won. They're the only team that's done that. They went in Seattle, turned the ball over four times, and still won there. So, yeah, they're not a sexy pick. And, yeah, Carson Palmer's not a great quarterback. He's a descending quarterback. But they're doing all the right things. Bruce Arians has gotten those guys playing well, and that's what I like about them. So, right now I'd say Arizona. But, you know, they're going to run into Seattle sooner or later. They play in such a tough division. But they beat the 49ers at home. God,
right.
They're doing all the right things.
Yeah, they are. Clark Judge, Talk of Fame Network. Clark, as always, thank you so much for calling in.
My pleasure, Bruce.
You know what? It's just nice to hear it from you because I totally agree with the Arizona pick. I like them as long as they don't get anybody else injured. You know.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I want to see them. You know, when Carson Palmer's ready. I mean, who do you play?
Yeah,
Stanton Palmer. That's a good question. I mean, Stanton's won his last four games, including two this year.
Yeah, well, it's nice to have those decisions to make. Clark,
you're
I'll
right.
talk to you soon. Clark Judge, Talk of Fame Network, everybody. Thank you very much for listening to the show. A special thanks for our first-time guest, Chuck Todd of Meet the Press. See you next week with Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.